listening to مركز الصحابة The voice of أهل السنة والجماعة.
Our beloved honorable Ustad is with us this morning. Let's go to him, inshallah. Ustad, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu feekum wa arafat. Jazakallahu khairan. Nahmaduhu wa nuswalli ala rasulihil kareem. Amma ba'd. A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytani rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Rabbi shrah li sadri wa yassir li amri. واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما. All praise due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Today our focus is on Surah Ar-Rahman, chapter number 55, and it comprises 78 verses. Few things to know about Surah Ar-Rahman. You will find one verse, فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ. Hence, which of the bounties of your Allah, Allah is addressing the jinn and human being, will you deny, will you reject more than 30 times? Almighty Allah Jalla Wala mentions and repeats this verse. Secondly, the ulama have written, لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ زِينَا وَزِينَةُ الْقُرْآنِ الرَّحْمَانِ. Everything has a beauty, and the beauty and glory of the noble Quran is Surah Rahman. Some ulama have even written that on the day of justice, the day of Qiyamah, Almighty Allah Jalla Wala himself will read and recite Surah Rahman. So what is Surah Rahman? Almighty Allah states, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Almighty Allah, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, the one who is very, very gracious and very merciful. Ar-Rahman, the one who is very, very gracious. Allam al-Qur'an, he taught the Qur'an. First and foremost, teaching it to Mustafa, Habibuna, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. خلق الإنسان. Almighty Allah created this masterpiece, this human being. علمه البيان. And Almighty Allah taught him the expression, I am speaking to you live. You are listening. It is not our greatness. It is the majesty, the grandeur, the greatness of Almighty Allah Jalla Wala. At one time, we can communicate with thousands of people. So who is doing all that? Yeto kudrat ka karishma hai, that is the manifestation of the mercy of Almighty Allah. You study the sun and the moon, they all on the move. And you see the stars, you see the trees, they all are subjugating themselves to the command of Almighty Allah. Almighty Allah wants justice. And therefore Almighty Allah Jalla gave us this freedom of choice so that we exercise justice and we do not go and oppress ourselves or oppress others and transgress the limits which Almighty Allah has designated. Almighty Allah states, Rabbul Mashriqain wa Rabbul Maghribain. Who is in charge of the East and the West? Remember, it is only Almighty Allah. Mashriqain is mentioned, the two east. Two east means that the east and the west. So here you will say that you take the east and the north, and you will take the west and the south. So in that way, the Almighty Allah is showing us everywhere it is the sovereignty, authority of Almighty Allah. فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ. Which of the bounties of Allah will you reject and deny? We in South Africa, we know our mother city, so beautiful Cape Town. Almighty Allah spoke of this more than 1400 years ago. Maraj al-Bahrain yaltaqiyan, the two oceans. Almighty Allah let them flow and they are meeting. Bainahuma barzakhulla yabghiyan. Between them there's a partition, and then they do not cross over. They do not encroach upon one another. When you go to beautiful Cape Town, you see the Indian Ocean, you see the Atlantic Ocean, you see the color is different, the temperature is different, the taste is different. They just meet, and at the bottom, there is some form of partition. Me and you cannot see it. That is the power, the manifestation of Almighty Allah Jalla Wala. Imagine today the people who are the biggest professors and people who study the oceans and what have you. They also will tell you that yes, there are certain things. We can give you certain information, but beyond that we cannot give you anything. Almighty Allah reminds us, Kullu man alayha fan. Everybody, everything will perish because we are makhluk and creation. وَيَبَقَى وَجْهُ رَبِّكَ ذُو الْجَلَالِ وَالْإِكْرَامِ. Only Almighty Allah will remain. Allah was, Allah is, Allah will always be. Almighty Allah tells us, O human being, prepare for the day of justice. يُعْرَفُ الْمُجْرِمُونَ بِسِيمَاهُمْ. The people who disbelieve, they will be recognized by their foreheads. فَيُؤْخَذُ بِالنَّوَاصِي وَالْأَقْدَامِ. They will be taken by their forelocks and their feet and flung and thrown into Jahannam, Allah forbid. And Almighty Allah tells us, for the people who fear Almighty Allah, to them will be the gardens of paradise, minimum two gardens. And there fihima min kulli fakatin zawjan. They'll get every type of fruit that they want to and in pairs. And they will get the beautiful damsels of Jannah and women of Jannah. فِيهِنَّ قَاصِرَاتُ الطَّرْفِ. Their surat and sirat is par excellence. Surat, their beauty, and their sirat, their character. So no human being, no jinn has ever touched them. And Almighty Allah teaches us, هَلْ جَزَاءُ الْإِحْسَانِ إِلَّا الْإِحْسَانِ. When someone does good to you, you also must do good for that person. Minimum make dua for that person and supplicate for that person. In Jannah and Paradise, you will get another two Jannah, so four Jannahs and Paradise will be given to that person, minimum. Fihima faqihatu wa nakhlu wa rumman. So you will find the fruits, the dates, the pomegranates. You will find fihinna khayratun hisan. These women who are the paragon of beauty. So Almighty Allah Jalla wala grant us Jannatul Firdaus. Fabi ayyi ala'i rabbikuma tukadhiban. O human being, O jinn, which of the bounties of Allah are you going to reject and deny? May Almighty Allah give us tawfiq and ability that we are grateful and thankful to Almighty Allah for all His recurring and bounties which are showering upon us. May Almighty Allah Jalla wala accept it from us.
16 minutes after 5 Central African time, you are listening to As-Safina to Ilal Jannah. Let us go to Durban this beautiful Thursday morning. Somebody says here, Mulana Arafat, I'm a second wife. He just doesn't communicate with the first wife and the second wife. Please advise, ask Mufti Sab, what should both wives do? Please, from Durban, Ustad.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Both wives should have a meeting with him and explain to the husband, jaw, jaw is better than war, war. What we mean by that? That he must communicate, use your jaws and use your tongue and speak, brother. You can't be in silent mode and expect things to happen. You're making a war, a silent war against your wives, and that is you're not communicating with them. Both of them are getting irritated, both of them are getting frustrated, and now when there's load shedding, so they get even more frustrated. So when they press the button, they find that nothing happening. When they want to speak to you, they find no response. So remember that, brother, that is unacceptable. You are the one, you decided you want two wives. So Quran Kareem is commanding you, whether you got one, two or three or four wives. Surah 4, Surah Nisa, verse 19. وَعَاشِرُوهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ Treat your wives with love, with respect and equity and justice. You can't be in silent mode and give them the silent treatment. You must treat them well. And that is what Quran Kareem, the Sunnah of Nabi alayhi salam, is teaching us. The Master Habibuna sallallahu alayhi salam said, خَيْرُكُمْ خَيْرُكُمْ لِأَهَلِيكُمْ وَأَنَا خَيْرُكُمْ لِأَهَلِي The best of you are the best of you of the Ummah that are good to your wives and children. And I, Mustafa, Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Messenger of Islam, wa ana khayrukum li ahli, I am the best to my wives and my children. This is authentic hadith in Tirmidhi Sharif, reported and narrated by Siddiqatu bintu Siddiq, our honorable mother Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha. Almighty Allah commands you, my brother, when you have two wives or more, that فَإِنْ خِفْتُمْ أَلَّا تَعْدِلُوا فَوَاحِدًا Chapter 4, Surah Nisa, verse number 3, that if you fear you can't do justice, then you keep one wife. So you made the choice, so you have to sleep in that bed, my brother. So you have to be communicating with them. You can't say favor one over the other, or you can't be giving both of them silent treatment. All that is unacceptable. So my advice to you, both wives, that you must tell him, that speak, we want to know what is the problem. Oh, are you looking for a third wife now? Therefore, you've gone into silent mode.
Jaw, as Mufti Saab says. Ustad, my son is writing matric. He's scared he forgot his past work and keeps forgetting when learning. And he, the amount of work is too much. I make dua. But what else can I do, Ustad?
Tell him to read, Ya Qawiyu, read 2 rakat salat before entering the room, the examination room, read Surah Yasin. Obviously, it doesn't mean you have to make effort also. A lot of work, we also had a lot of work when we were in school and university and madrasa and everywhere. So that's a feeble excuse. Remember that everybody will forget. Human being must forget. Therefore, he's called insan. Al-insanu nisyan, we say in Arabic. But for us as Muslims, we must remember the more vices and sins we commit, then the weaker our memory becomes. So stay away from vices. And where did we deduce this? Al-Imam al-Shafi'i rahimahullah went to his teacher Waqi bin Jarrah. Wonderful, beautiful poetry. Go see in Diwan al-Shafi'i, the poetry of Imam Shafi'i, you will find it. Shakawtu ila Waqi in su'a hifdhi. I went to my teacher and complained, and my teacher's name Waqi. My memory is gone weak. فَأَرْشَدَنِي إِلَىٰ تَرْكِ الْمَعَاصِي He advised me, leave committing sins. Today the Ummah spends so much time on TV, on movies, on sports, entertainment, all the satanic activities. فَإِنَّ الْعِلْمَ نُورٌ مِّنْ إِلَٰهِ Because this knowledge is the effulgence and radiance from Almighty Allah. وَنُورُ اللَّهِ لَا يُؤْطَى لِعَاصِي And the nur of Almighty Allah, the celestial light, is not given to people who continue and persist with their vices and sins. May Almighty Allah protect us all.
Ameen, 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 thum ameen. Ustad, let us go to Mauritius. This is Brother Naeem. Move this up. What is the definition of da'wah? Is it fard? Can it be considered da'wah as per hadith or Quran definition of only done amongst Muslims? What was the method of da'wah of Khalifas, Tabi'in, Tabba Tabi'in and the Imams Ustad?
Almighty Allah Jalla wa Ala teaches us about da'wah. Remember in the Quran Sharif in various verses. قُلْ هَذِهِ سَبِيلِي أَدْعُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ Say, O Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is my way, this is my path, أَدْعُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ I invite towards Almighty Allah Jalla wa Ala, ala basiratin, with firm conviction, ana, I, وَمَنِ اتَّبَعَنِي and those who follow me. From this verse we derive the term, أَهْلُ السُّنَّةِ وَالْجَمَاعَةِ Nevertheless, so to give da'wat, remember, is the function of Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that is Surah 12, Surah Yusuf, verse number 108. So every Muslim has to make da'wah, Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's hadith, Balighu anni walau ayah, the hadith in Bukhari Sharif, propagate on my behalf, even though it is one verse, one line. So da'wah is compulsory upon every Muslim. We all have to take the message of Islam, it is the best, and share it with the rest. So there is no need for us to be apologetic, there is no need for us to redefine and reform Islam, we have to reform ourselves. That is what is required. Yes, da'wah is for everybody, Muslim and non-Muslim. So for the Muslims, we have tazkir. Tazkir means how our brothers in Tabligh Jamaat, in da'wah, they do. They remind the Muslims that's excellent. Quran Kareem says, وَذَكِّرْ فَإِنَّ ذِكْرَاتًا فَالْمُؤْمِنِينَ. That remind, because reminding the believers is beneficial. So Almighty Allah Jalla Wala has taught us that we must remind one another. And you can see our parents remind us, our teachers remind us, and how beneficial it is. Chapter 51, Surah Dhariyat, verse 55. And second one, Tabligh. Tabligh is for Muslim and non-Muslim. So we take the message of Islam to the Muslim who forgot most of the things of Islam. And we take Tabligh to the non-Muslims, so we propagate to them. And especially the ulama should be doing that, so that the non-Muslims, they are objections, or they are misunderstanding or miscomprehension of Islam. Look at New Zealand. Subhanallah, tomorrow, I don't know if you know Maulana Arafat, tomorrow, remember, New Zealand is 11 hours ahead of South Africa. So now it's almost 5:30, so there it is 4:30 in the evening, in the afternoon. So tomorrow, Jumu'ah, whole country, 2 minutes shutdown. Everybody is going to listen to the adhan for 2 minutes on the TV, on the radio, and everywhere. This is to honor the shuhada of the Muslims. So you see that the whole country, this is da'wat for them. So Allah Ta'ala's hadith in Bukhari Sharif, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَيُعَيِّدُ هَذَا الدِّينَ بِرَجُلِ الْفَاجِرِ. Verily Almighty Allah helps this deen and assists this deen, even with non-Muslims. So his hadith authentic in Bukhari Sharif. So see, the non-Muslim government, they are the one. If you know in Parliament this week what happened, Maulana Nisarul Haq Thanvi, the son of Hazrat Maulana Itishamul Haq Thanvi, added salat in his masjid for 5 years in Jacob Line. Subhanallah, Khatib Pakistan, he was the orator of Pakistan. If you heard his son reading, he reads just like his father. Allah. So you must remember that. And he opened the parliament and he read the verse, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu sta'inu bis sabri was salat. So they did that gesture, wonderful gesture for the Muslims. Then you see that Friday tomorrow in New Zealand, the adhan will go and the whole national, the media of the government, all will be broadcasting the adhan. So this you won't even find sometime in Muslim countries. But yeah, non-Muslim country. So you see how the sun rises in New Zealand and Fiji the first. So subhanallah, the revival is coming. So the 50 brothers, sisters, children who passed away, Allah grant them Jannatul Firdaus. They are family, Sabr Jameel. But see the positivity coming out from that part of the world. So yes, our function must be tazkir and tabligh. Tazkir for the Muslims primarily, remind one another, and tabligh, take the message to all humankind. So that is our duty.
Allahu Akbar, subhanallah. Ustaz, I'm 62 years old, widow, and I want to go for Umrah, Hajj, with my late brother's son-in-law and wife. Ustaz.
So you must remember your brother, your brother's son-in-law or whatever, so they're not your mahram. So you must remember that you are 60, 70, whatever, but you have to go with your husband. If no husband, then you have to go with the mahram, your father, your brother, your son, and so forth. If it's your own son-in-law, then it's fine. But now your brother's son-in-law, your sister's son-in-law, and all that, they're not mahram for you. So therefore, in that case, to travel with them, not not permissible according to all four schools. Remember, if it is for Umrah you want to go, now you want to go in Rajab, Shaaban, Ramadan, so that is not permissible according to anybody. None of the four schools allow that for Umrah. Yes, if it is for a Hajj, and the Hajj, the pilgrimage, the farz one, then it is permissible if the Hajj is farz and compulsory, according to the Shafi'is, the Malikis, the lady goes with a group of ladies and so forth, so provided that is a farz Hajj. If it is Umrah, if it is a Nafil Hajj, voluntary Hajj, then everybody says not permissible. Hanafis and Hanbalis say that even for a farz Hajj is not permissible, that the lady goes with a group of ladies. She must write in her will that leave 50-60,000 rand, and in that way there $3,000-$4,000, and let somebody go and perform the Hajj on her behalf, and that somebody must have performed his own Hajj before. So that is what is meant by the laws of Sharia.
28 minutes after 5, I see we have Sister Natasha. She says, good morning, my senior mentor. Mr. Arafat, we missed you yesterday on the bliss of marriage. This is Sister Natasha. Mufti, why did Prophet Muhammad marry so many women?
Excellent question, Sister Natasha. And yes, we all missed Mr. Arafat, but we call him Maulana Arafat. So there's this type of things here. So anyway, you will listen to Maulana Arafat tonight, inshallah, at 8 o'clock, inshallah. So you see, Maulana is firing on all cylinders, inshallah. Everybody wants to listen to Maulana Arafat, inshallah. Okay, so Sister, excellent question. You see, Sister, when you want to study a topic, then you must not study it selectively. You are a teacher. Your husband is an attorney. And I'm sure you're going to agree with me on this, Brother Marvin and Sister Natasha. So let us study the Seerah Mubarakah, the life history of Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I'm giving you the chronological table, okay? So now you see, at the age of 25, the Master alayhi salatu salam married his wife, Sayyida Khadija radiallahu anha. So that is the first wife. This marriage subsisted, continued for 25 years. There was no other wife. And then we find that she passed away. And she, Sayyida Khadija radiallahu anha, when she married Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, she was 40 years old. And she had her own children from her previous marriages. She was a widow. And remember that for 25 years, this marriage brought about 6 children, 4 daughters and 2 sons. So for 25 years, there was no other wife. And she passed away, Sayyida Khadija radiallahu anha, when she was 65. And Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the messenger of Islam, was 50 years old. Okay? Thereafter, we find that Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam married Sauda radiallahu anha. She is the only wife. And then Nabi alayhi salatu salam married Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha. So the plurality of wives only came about when Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was 53, 54 years old. And in a Master alayhi salatu salam's demise took place in the age of 60. So the last 10 years of his life, now if hypothetically, Allah forbid, Allah forbid, Allah forbid. So if, as the Orientalists or some non-Muslims allege and make claims, wild claims and accusation, the aim was just lust and passion and desire, then Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam was offered the most beautiful woman. He was offered everything. But he refuted, rejected all this bribery. He refuted all these material things and said that no. But the last 10 years of his life, then we find they were wives. Why? Some of them made so much sacrifice for Islam that they gave everything they had. And lo and behold, now they were nothing. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam married her. Example, Umme Habiba radiallahu anha. She is in Africa and Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam is there in Medina Munawwara, the leader of Africa, of Ethiopia at that time, Ethiopia, Sudan, Yaman, was called Najash, was called Habasha. So at that time we find that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam married her. So to take care of a widow, to take care of a lady whose husband went and left her and so forth and became a Christian or became a non-Muslim and whatever. Then you see Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam married different women in different tribes, because the tribal system was very, very rife and rampant. So once you go married in the tribe, then the people will accept you very, very easily. So this was an easy method to bring about unity in the Arab Peninsula, and the message of Islam will also enter into all these tribes. Next one will be, if you study all the wives of Mustafa Habibuna Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we call them Ummul Mu'mineen. They are the mothers of ours. Therefore, when we take their name, we take them with the greatest honor. They are part of the household of Mustafa Habibuna Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the Messenger of Islam, and only one lady was a virgin. The remainder were divorcees, the remainder were widows, the remainder were people who needed financial support, security, and so forth. So, Siddiqa Hazrat Aisha, and she was young, Nabi Alayhi Salaam married her, because she is now going to learn the deen in the religion of Islam, and she will then propagate it. And if you count the various type of ahadith sayings of Nabi Alayhi Salaam, she reported 2,210 ahadith. So that is the aim, not what the West or others are trying to promote, to say that Allah forbid. I ask you one question, Sister Natasha. For this woman to marry Mustafa Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, whose honor was being elevated? Was Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's honor? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the Messenger of Islam's honor, was already elevated by Almighty Allah. He is the final prophet and messenger. He is the mercy to every creation of Almighty Allah. So their honor was being elevated. Their family's honor was being elevated. So that is why the Messenger of Islam allowed this. And if you ask that question, as I mentioned to you yesterday, day before yesterday, you study the Bible, you go study the life of David, you study the life of Solomon, we say Nabi Dawood alayhi salam, Nabi Sulaiman alayhi salam, they had plurality of wives, they had plurality of female slaves. So the Bible uses the word concubine. We don't like to use that word. We say female slaves. So this was something that if the previous messengers and prophets also used to do, but the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came and regulated it for humanity and posterity. So that is the rationale why all this happened.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. Beautiful answer there, Ustad. I see we've got about a minute left. I wish we could go till 6, but I know it's a safina to Ilal Jannah. It's a public holiday. Ustad, there's a very beautiful message coming from Newcastle. This is Uncle Ahmed Mufti Saab and Molana Arafat. On behalf of the Randeri family, we would like to thank Mufti Saab for making dua for our sister who passed away yesterday, and that is Zahira, Ustad.
Allah Ta'ala grant Zahira, the daughter of Suleiman Randeri, and all the marhumin, our brother Abu Esa and his sister who passed away, Fatima. So many people passed away in yesterday, last week, whenever. So one day we also have to leave. Look at the example Mustafa Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave. Al-Mawta kal-ghariq al-mutaghawith. We spoke of the Indian Ocean and Atlantic Ocean just now. A person is in the dam, in the river, in the ocean, and is drowning. He's shouting for help. Allah. So how are we going to help them? My parents passed away. Tomorrow I'm going to Heidelberg. Why? I'll stand at their grave and I will be praying and begging Almighty Allah. So that is what we believe in. So we don't forget our parents and dump them in old age homes. Nay, our parents are so special. We remember them after death. That is Islam. So inshallah, today 1:30 will be tafsir, and inshallah 2:00 to 4:00 will be Sheikh Zakaria. 4 to Maghrib, inshallah, sunset time in Durban will be Mawlana Khalid Yaqub. 7 to 8 will be Brother Amin Templeton with business matters. And 8 to 10 will be Mawlana Arafat Hatia, inshallah, Allahul Aziz. Barakallahu feek. Salaamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.